He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Where's the top? That's what we're all asking. That was the subject of my newsletter last Friday. Well, today we're out of the gate okay, but we're giving up those gains pretty quickly here. I'm seeing them fade into the distance. The NASDAQ was up about 140 just a bit ago. Now it's up just 27 points. They're selling the rally. 15,963 is where the NASDAQ sits. The Dow, on the other hand, is up 120. That's 30 basis points. It's at 38,705. The S&P 500 up 14 to 5,093. Small caps up 60 basis points as Chairman Powell testifies before Congress. Crude oil's got some lift under today, up $1.69 to $79.84. Gold, another new high on gold. What is going on? Flight to safety. Dollar's not going down. It's going up. So gold is being bought right now. Some accumulation taking place. It's up $13 per ounce to $2,155. The 10-year's down 3 to 4.11. That's the lowest we've had in quite a bit. And Bitcoin's down $2,100 this morning. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, we had the worst day in quite some time in the market yesterday. The Dow was down 405. The NASDAQ was down 268. The S&P was down, 52 points. Rough day for risk assets yesterday. I just think a lot of people starting to figure it out. Forward PE 21.16. Seems like the economic numbers, yesterday was the ISM index and I don't know, a couple others. It seems like it's slowing down. You get that feeling that the U.S. economy is starting to slow down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but number one, we're seeing that around the world, right? And so naturally, right, that's going to at least bleed into some of our economy, at least in terms of our multinational companies. And, you know, we got some payroll, you know, payroll numbers today. Got the ADP report came in at jobs were still fairly solid at 140K up, but we're under the expected of 149. Also, the JOLTS or the job openings report, right, was a little lighter than expected, and so you know, you are starting to see some slowdown. We've seen it from consumer spending,
confidence,
right, and down. Yeah, consumer confidence and investor confidence, right, likely will follow, particularly as you get closer to the presidential election. Certainly headlines, right, are going to be bad news sells, right? And so you're going to get this, you know, I think you're going to get this overhang of people feeling not great as we get closer to that election day as well.
Well, I see the last bastion of strength here. You've got China, which is really, really weak. China's got a weak economy, and I mean, they can jawbone all they want with words, but nothing's really working over there yet. You've had the kind of the blow up of the EV sector, which is one of the hot sectors. Really, the only things I'm seeing a lot of topping action. Yesterday, I noted the industrials look like they're putting in a top. The financials looked like they were putting in a top. The healthcare stocks looked like they were putting in a top. The software stocks were not only putting in a top, but I saw several of them starting to roll over Palo Alto Networks, you know, rolled over a couple of weeks ago, seeing a lot of weakness in software stocks. Usually when you get a very expensive market with some fluff in it, the software stocks are the first to go because they usually have the most helium in them. And then you start to see the semiconductors chipped away at. I'm not seeing that yet, okay? That seems to be the last bastion of strength. But it comes down to just a handful of stocks, NVIDIA, AMD, ASM Lithography, and maybe a few others out there on the periphery. And I don't think those stocks could hold up the entire market. And then you've got all the fluff in Bitcoin, which is now starting to show a little bit of volatility here. It had a day, it was down 9% yesterday. So anyways, we had the worst day since mid-February yesterday.
And Tesla, speaking of jawboning, while we're talking, we also have Powell in Powell's in front of Congress at the moment. So, you know, who knows, you know, any word, anything that comes out of his mouth could change the markets as you and I are doing the show.
Well, you know, and he already has said that we're in no hurry. There's not going to be any hurry to cut rates. Which isn't good. I mean, if the economy is slowing down and they're not going willing to cut rates yet, that's not a good scenario there. You got a lot of weakness in Apple right now. Really poor chart. Really poor chart on Tesla. We have a little more uncertainty out of the way, I suppose, as Nikki Haley drops out of the race. She's giving her suspension speech just across the river from me. I can't see it, but she's just over there. It looks like you said Daniel Island. And so you got a little bit more clarity there.
And some in the rain.
Too. It's raining like heck. The wind is really kicking up. I hope she's indoors. But anyways, so interesting day yesterday in the market. Okay, so we begin with, now what caused the spill in the market yesterday? I'm trying to figure it out. I'm thinking mostly China, the weak numbers out of China. That's definitely one reason. You do have a bit of a game of chicken right now. Who's going to be the first to crack as the market continues to head into the atmosphere of a rarefied air? And crypto currencies there in rarefied air hitting a new all-time high yesterday, gold hitting a new all-time high yesterday, a little bit of a flight to safety. You've had 16 of the last 18 weeks up, something not seen since 1971. Yet we're seeing cracks. We're starting to see cracks. We're seeing cracks in some of the big Fabulous 7. We saw cracks in the software sector yesterday. And we're starting to see some cracks in the really highfalutin areas of the market. Okay, well, let's see. U.S. private employment advances at a solid pace in February. I'm sure we'll hear about that. Tomorrow night, you get the State of the Union address from President Biden. And he's got some issues that he's going to have to address. But this is one feather in his cap here. The jobs market remains very strong. U.S. private sector employment increased by 140,000 in February, a solid pace, but under the 149K expected. So if we're getting the private payrolls today, that must mean that on Friday we get the official jobs report, the non-farm payrolls report, the day after Biden speaks to Congress tomorrow night, and we'll see where that will come in.
Yeah, you think he gets a peek at those numbers before the speech?
I think so, because he's probably going to talk it up there tomorrow. That's one area that is still holding up. We're going to get Costco's earnings after the close tonight. We're also going to get Broadcom. That's the biggest one in a while. There's one of the horsemen, you know, holding up the entire market. Definitely Broadcom
and one we own.
Yes, ASM Lithography and AMD. Although I will admit that I did lighten up a little bit on Broadcom recently because it has become a very, very large position Overall, we had more, I think, a double almost in Broadcom. I'll talk about another one that I sold after the before the close of the market yesterday. Well, so far I was wrong. I didn't like the way it was trading. They reported earnings. That's CrowdStrike, and that stock, last time I looked, was up about 16% in the after hours. But I didn't like the way the sector was trading at all. You know, I looked at Palo Alto Networks. I looked at Zscaler. I looked at CrowdStrike. I look at Cloudflare and all the others. And, boy, it really looks like that sector is kind of done for now. We'll see. But CrowdStrike did come in, beat earnings. We'll see where it closes today, tomorrow. Looks like a very, very vulnerable area in the market to me. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, yesterday Qualcomm had their company's annual shareholder meeting, and there was a lot said by Qualcomm CEO about generative AI. Now, I spent over 50 years of my life in San Diego, still a rabid San Diego Padre fan. And I see that Steve Garvey made it to the runoff for Senate race. I don't know if he can beat head-to-head the Republican running against a Democrat in California, but Steve Garvey will forever be emblazoned in my memory, the home run he hit off of the Chicago Cubs. You know, in the old stadium, it's not there anymore, Qualcomm Stadium, they had that marked where that ball hit, and it put the Padres, it knocked the Cubs out of the playoffs. It was a best of five series. The Padres were down 2-0, facing elimination. Come back to San Diego. They won 3 in a row. And Garvey's number was retired, Barry, by the Padres, even though he spent his vast majority of his career.
Yeah, think of him as the Dodgers. Yeah, when I think of baseball cards, right? I can only see him in my head in a Dodgers uniform.
Good old Popeye with the big forearms, and I saw him being interviewed the other day. He still looks really good he's 75 years
really?
Old.
Really? Yeah, I was looking at a picture right now. He's 75? Wow.
Yes, he's 75 years old, so he'll face a runoff. But having said that, I was also in San Diego when a little company by the name of Qualcomm went public, like at a dollar a share or whatever, But they basically, they're synonymous with the cell phone because their CDMA technology was the one that was chosen to go into the cell phones. And, of course, the cell phone business is not growing like it once was, but that was one of the most meteoric rises in a stock and one of the biggest technical breakthroughs in a long time back then, or ever of all time. It started the cell phone revolution, and there were all these Qualcomm millionaires. I had many Qualcomm clients back then, and it was part of the dot-com bubble. Only Qualcomm's a survivor of the dot-com bubble. And, today, it was interesting for me to read the CEO's comments on generative AI. He says they will become indispensable companions, generative AI in companies out there. He touted the prospects and the impact on the world at the company's annual shareholder meeting, calling it a revolutionary development in the tech industry. Very similar to the revolution in the cell phone industry and the PC industry that I've witnessed. We're witnessing another revolution. He said, we believe the impact will be significant as Gen AI applications become indispensable companions and business enablers. Cristiano Amon said in prepared remarks at the shareholder meeting. since applications like ChatGPT and others took the world by storm in late 2022, generative AI has been focused on the data center. We've seen that with Supermicrocomputer, resulting in unprecedented demand for GPUs, largely from NVIDIA. Well, Qualcomm is trying to change that and bring generative AI capabilities to the smartphone via its Snapdragon X Elite as well as the PC.
And I think Samsung's been touting their, them building, them creating one, and that is part of the pressure that's been on Apple in the last handful of days in terms of, I think Cook said, he basically promising something big on AI soon. And the folks are thinking that it may be in that phone space. So it makes sense.
Yes.
In terms of, for Qualcomm's business and where they've fit in, into that ecosystem.
Yes.
Over the years.
And I've been very negative on Qualcomm because they really haven't had anything in a long, long time. It's a $186 billion company. It also pays a dividend yield of 1.9%. But, this is one of the best looking charts in the entire market. You can look at that one-year chart.
And, we wrote them up. Remember, as they had the tailwind of moving to 5G at one point, right? That was kind of the more recent tech revolution or tailwind, pre AI. And so, if they can ride that, catch another wave, right? That'd be great for the company and great for the stock.
And their most recent quarter, they've had all red quarters for many, many quarters in a row where they've had, their last three quarters, sales down 17%, sales down 23%, sales down 24%. But then all of a sudden, this quarter they last reported, their sales actually went up 5%. That's the first time in a long time. And their earnings, they've had their last three quarters of earnings, minus 33, minus 39, minus 32, and then all of a sudden plus 16. So maybe they've reached an inflection point here also. We've got our eyes on it. They report earnings. They have a weird fiscal quarter. They report earnings on April 24th, so that's about 7 weeks out from now. But we're going to keep our eyes there. I took notice of what he had to say yesterday at their annual shareholder conference. Okay. On the other hand, one of the worst-looking charts in the entire market, Google continues to really struggle and misfire. They misfired on their Bard totally. They tried to... After ChatGPT came out with Microsoft, I think they released their Bard shortly thereafter, and it was a total misfire. And then this whole Gemini thing, total misfire. Google co-founder Sergey Brin said Google definitely messed up on Gemini image generation due to a lack of thorough testing. Well, I want my I want my artificial intelligence thoroughly tested before it's put into an airplane or whatever
sounds
else
like,
they're going to put it into.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you said airplane, Boeing comes to mind.
Yeah, speaking at the Tech Entrepreneurs meeting on Saturday, Brin commented on the faulty launch of Google's Gemini in February, which was later pulled after users, it was very racially biased. If you typed in, I want a picture of an astronaut, it came up with a black woman, and everything you did pretty much had these big racial biases built into it. The company said it's relaunching the image generation feature soon. But that's just another misfire by Google and by Alphabet. And, we didn't like the way it was trading several weeks ago. And jumped out of the stock, and it continues along with Apple and with Tesla. I mean, three stocks that used to kind of hold up the market here. They're not very good looking charts these days. And when we come back, one of the other best looking charts in the market might surprise you. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Let's just check in here on the market for a minute. It opened strong, then it was fading. What's it doing right now? It's okay. I mean, the NASDAQ's up 83, the Dow's up 154 right now. Okay, the next story, GE, who would have ever thunk it, right? I mean, GE was just, it got down to $34 per share back in 2020. You know, the venerable old company that has been around for a long, long time, headquartered in Boston, Massachusetts. GE is hitting, is that a new all-time high on GE right now? No, not quite, but it's hitting a new 52-week high, so my hat is off to the new management there. You know, they tried several CEOs recently, and it seems like they finally found a team that really has put this company back on the map, and they're in the news today. Their targets jump in free cash flow in 2025 after spinoff. They're going to spin off the company Vernova that houses General Electric's power and renewable energy business. They reaffirmed their 2024 guidance and they outlined 2025 guidance at their investor day, which they're holding today. Vernova will launch as an independent public company on April 2nd. That's just around the corner. The numbers on it look pretty good. General Electric, which is breaking up into three separate companies focused on aerospace, healthcare, and energy. They've already spun off the healthcare, right?
And they've spun off, they've spun off a lot of different things over the years. I mean, it's been a long time since Jack Welch retired.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 2001, of course, going through 2008-09, they had the finance
Jeffrey
piece
Immelt.
Of it, right? And they had the finance piece of it that they got dinged on. Also, they had an insurance business that wasn't performing. So it's kind of got into that conglomerate stage where you spin out these businesses and they get higher multiples, right? As you spin them off, and so that's the reason for the breakup. I remember. I remember seeing GE. It was always funny. You see GE like on a ultrasound machine, right? And then you see GE flying through the air. So they've got
or on a refrigerator.
Right.
I remember seeing
that's the
on
thing.
A refrigerator
right,
growing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, okay, what's the app say about GE? Of course, it's Best Stocks Now app in the Apple Store. It's Gunderson Quant Ratings in the Android Google Play Store. And
I got to get that one to roll off my tongue better.
I know. I'm going to start putting the logo on the newsletter every week to get people.
GQR. How about,
yes.
There we go, GQ,
we go.
And then add an R. Yeah,
okay. And then, of course, the web version is beststocksnowapp.com. GE is ranked number 98 out of 5,300 or so.
That's pretty amazing.
With 71% upside potential.
Snuck up there.
it has been a little higher with upside potential. GE was up 88% last year, 88%, and it's up 27.2%. The quiet giant, no longer can we call it a soggy stock. It's a comeback kid. For sure, and my hat is off to GE, which will have another spinoff here on April the 2nd. I don't have any problem with owning that stock with today's management. Now, let's go to the EV industry for a bit, which is another sign of the time. I remember Canoo when it was a pretty hot stock. It had a symbol of Go EV. It's going to do a 1-for-23 reverse stock split. That's never a good sign.
1-for-23 reverse, huh? That's they want to get real mathy on that one.
You had 23 shares, and now you have one share, but it's worth more. It's a wash.
I've seen a 23 for one split. Usually they do round number.
Yeah, 100-to-1. So this stock is trading at 8 cents, okay? It's gone from 24 down to 8 cents. They design and manufacture breakthrough electric vehicles to consumers and businesses. And it just seems like that whole industry. And now you've got a giant pricing war taking place that can't be good for Elon Musk and Tesla. BYD is cutting prices of its cheapest car as the EV competition intensifies. And, of course, you know, China will subsidize their cars, I'm sure, as long as they can to take market share. And the one caught in the crossfire, obviously, is Tesla. Tesla is hitting another new 52-week low here today. Not 52-week, but about a 6-month, 9-month low. It's down to 176.65, breaking support or just barely hanging on to it. It's kind of its last support level here. For a while, so they're in the crosshairs.
And I always liked the concept of Canoo. They started out as an electric skateboard maker, and so if you think about an electric skateboard, right, it's basically just a chassis. And so what their idea was, of course, is make the chassis bigger, and then, you know, whatever you wanted us to put on top, you could put on top if you needed a, you know, if you needed a delivery van, right? Well, you just
that's a big jump
just
though,
put
from
a
skateboard
put a van
to
on,
a delivery
right, well, right.
van.
Yeah, the thought process is it look, you know, very similar. Of course, two different, you know, getting there is the hard part. But yeah, they would just put, you know, the idea was just to put a different shell on it, right? You want a van, we'll put the van shell on top, right? Or if you want, you know, some other version, we'll just put it on top of the same chassis. And, you know,
I'm all over it. 8 cents a share or whatever it's at.
They got a great symbol, GoEV, GoEV, right?
Now, in my day, guys in skateboards would grab onto a delivery van and get a free, and the guy in Back to the Future, of course, did that.
Michael J. Fox.
You just don't want to lose control. Those things will start to shimmy, you know.
Waiting for the hoverboard. So
yes, I've tackled a few steep hills, ski runs. We used to go out to Ramona, and there was a giant mountain out there with the paved road, and we'd go back and forth crossing just like a ski hill on our skateboards. Hyzon Motors is another one. Now, their deal to separate them from everybody was a zero-emission hydrogen fuel cell, kind of going the direction of Nikola. I think 60 cents a share. It's getting a bull rating. And then there's MicroStrategy. You know, the stock's only strategy seems to be buying Bitcoin. They lost $124 per share as a company in 2022. They're expected to make $250 per share this year. The stock is trading at 1,181, which gives it a forward P.E. ratio of 600. 600. So basically, by buying MicroStrategy, you're buying Bitcoin. And he's going to raise, get this, he's going to do a secondary offering. $680 million secondary offering. What's he going to use it for? To buy more Bitcoin. So that's one of the strangest stocks in the entire market. But look, God bless him. It's up to $1,186 per share on MicroStrategy, whose strategy is to buy Bitcoin. Palantir jumps, as Army confirmed. Palantir gets a lot of government contracts. They're the one that's kind of now. See, now that stock was up, it broke out, and now it's pulling back to its breakout line. It's one of those software stocks that looks a little top heavy to me, and it can't quite follow through. And then there's CrowdStrike, which I did not like the way it was trading yesterday. It's coming back down to earth right now, by the way. I sold it yesterday. It looked like it was going to break support. I'm just not very favorable. We'll look at it a month from now, 2 months from now. But it is up 14.8%. It was up 23% at one time. So they're definitely selling into this rally in CrowdStrike. Well, you know, when you get a frothy market, the software stocks just get ridiculous P.E. ratios because they have such fat profit margins. And like I say, if you're looking for a top in the market, watch the software stocks because they're usually the first ones to start topping out, putting in that topping pattern, which I show in my newsletter every week. And then you can look at the ETF, IGV. Look at the sideways pattern. That's a software ETF. It's not only a sideways pattern, but threatening to roll over. I'm just giving you my observations of a guy who looks at a lot of charts every day. We'll be right back with what's working in the market today. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, let's take a look inside the market today, underneath the surface, peek underneath the hood. We got the biggest winner in the Dow today is Pfizer. Okay, if you're a deep value contrarian investor, Pfizer might be one worth looking at. I've seen some favorable articles recently on the stock. You know, everybody touting its dividend yield, which is currently 6.2%. So the old adage is, you know, you buy Pfizer, you wait for it, and in the meantime, while you're waiting, you're getting 6.2% on it. The only problem I have is it hasn't really had anything for quite some time, you know, in the way of a pipeline, something new in their pipeline. They've made a few small purchases. I think they'd be wise. I'm sure there's some kind of bidding war taking place for that Viking Therapeutics, which has a weight loss drug in the pipeline in phase two. But, you know, it's a while for that thing to come to market. To get past phase two and then to get through phase three, that can take several years. It's not like Viking Therapeutics has anything readily available to go up against Lilly and Novo Nordisk. But
well, and once it's available, you got to be able to market it and get it and yeah. Get it into the hands of you know, patients, right? So you got to, you know, there's a manufacturing component. There's a lot of infrastructure, right, that you've got to have in place once once you do get a drug approved. So
if you're a deep value person, contrarian, Pfizer's trading at a forward PE of 11. There's not a lot of stocks in the Dow trading at that level. PE is 12, dividend yield is 6.2. They need something. Whoever the CEO is, come up with something, and you'll see some money start flowing in. It's a high-quality company. They're a little tainted with the vaccine, yes, obviously, the COVID vaccine. Anyways, it is the best performer in the Dow. Intel's number two, up 2.7%. Intel got whacked yesterday, though. Yeah, Intel, you know, they're a wannabe in that AI business. And then I see Salesforce up 1.7% on the downside in the Dow today. You've got Disney and Verizon. Now, S&P 500, Nordstrom's getting clocked today, down 12.3%. Xerox down 7.2%. Kohl's down 2.8%. On the upside in the S&P 500, Hewlett-Packard Enterprises, up 8.5%. Albemarle, the beleaguered lithium stock, they're doing a big secondary offering. It's up 5.2%. Skyworks is up 4.8%. They make a lot of chips for the iPhone. They also have business ties with Qualcomm. I believe that Skyworks makes chips for Qualcomm. Dexcom is up 4.4%. I saw today that the first non-prescription version of their revolutionary product, we made a lot of money on Dexcom a while back, several years ago, for their diabetes, wearable diabetes technology. Qualcomm up 4.4% on the S&P 500 today is also a leader there. Now, if we go to the NASDAQ, JD.com. Barry, are you ready to jump back into Chinese technology stocks?
Main reason being is they can change the rules on us at any point in time, right?
Yeah, that's
the,
look at Alibaba, which is just
issue.
A dead stock. JD, the only two that seem to have any life, well, PDD definitely, because of their ownership of Temu, which spent millions on the Super Bowl
ads, yeah, right.
For very low margin.
Haven't seen an ad since, by the way.
No, and you know what they sell is very low margin. I would compare Temu with Overstock.com or something like that.
And okay. There's competition issues. In the U.S. in terms of stuff being cheap, right? And there's competition issues between retailers here. So there's some regulation risk there, too, with Temu.
The AI stocks definitely still holding up the market here. NVIDIA up 2.8, AMD up 2.7, ASM, which is threatening to leave the Netherlands because of another tax change over there. It's not a friendly company, not a friendly country to do business in. Broadcom is up 2.1%, so it's centered around the AI. It's kind of holding up the entire market right now still. Got the whole world upon its shoulders, and not much down, really. Tesla's the biggest loser in the NASDAQ, down 1.7. And Google, which is having struggles, is down 1.1. Also, Workday, which has become a very weak software stock here recently.
And they had trouble yesterday, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they had they reported earnings. That whole software sector, like I say, many times it's a bellwether. It's a harbinger of things to come. We know we're in an expensive market. We're in between earnings season. That's always kind of a dead time for, any kind of catalyst to move stocks. You've got just a few left. 97% of the S&P 500 companies have reported. So, anyways, it looks like another fun day. I've got a lot of charts to look at today. I did quite a bit. I was very active yesterday. The subscribers got every move that I made during the course of the day, and looking to do some more moves here today. Just depends, We'll see how things shape up today. To become a subscriber or a client, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. Most people don't have time to sit at home and receive trading alerts and whatnot. And just say, hey, you know what? You do it. I got my job to do. You can set up an appointment with us. Talk to us at 855-611-BEST. Or you can start out with the newsletter. You can do that by going to GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.